This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
This message is brought to you by Abercrombie & Fitch. I've been ready for summer for a while, and now it's finally time for summer outfits. With a trip coming up, the A&F Vacation Shop has me covered. Abercrombie really knows how to do a lightweight outfit. Their tees, sweater polos, and linen blend shorts never miss. I wear Abercrombie denim year-round. Their shorts are no different and have the comfort I need for summer. Prep for your next trip with the A&F Vacation Shop. Get their newest arrivals in-store, online, and in the app.
This
is the Rich Eisen Show.
Rich Eisen. Oh, that's Susie Eisen helping me.
With guest host Susie Schuster, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And look out, Bailey Clark pushes Angel Reese.
It's just a good take foul, you know?
Earlier on the show, legendary sports radio host Chris Mad Dog Russo. Coming up, Yahoo Sports senior NBA writer Vincent Goodwill. Host of ESPN's First Take, Stephen A. Smith. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
Well, hi, everybody. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. Thrilled to be here with TJ Jefferson and with Mike Del Tufo and Chris Brockman. Good to see you guys.
Hey, Susie.
Have you been drinking water, Chris? Are you feeling
I'm drinking tea with honey. I'm really trying to get this voice back.
He got trash this weekend, guys. That's just basically what happened.
Yeah, I just want to give a quick shout out. So I went to the ROM. It's Kevin ROM, the actor. He's been on a show. Huge LSU Saints guy. You've seen him Desperate Housewives. You've seen him on Mad Men. He's been doing this golf event for a few years now for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And I've been very fortunate the last few years for him to invite me to come down to this. We go to Sawgrass down in Florida. And it's such a phenomenal weekend. All the celebrities who come and donate their time and all the people trying to raise money to help sick kids. Now, last year, set the record just over $2 million. It was phenomenal. And then this year, the generosity of everyone down there completely blew everyone away. Record-breaking $3.3 million raised for St. Jude's Research Hospital. And it was just so overwhelming. And Susie, you've been to these events. With Rich, we've been to him at the Super Bowl. They're just so overwhelming, especially when you have kids of your own and you hear these people's stories. And you just want to do whatever you can to help them and help everyone there in Memphis at St. Jude's. And so I was super proud and super honored to be a part of it. And I just wanted to say thank you to them and thank you to everyone in South Florida who helped raise money. It was just a tremendous event. And I'm hurting, but I'm hurting for a great cause.
Right.
And I'm happy to be back with you guys and happy to give Cage a huge hug and a kiss. And
There's nothing like going to those to make you come home and see your children.
Oh, my gosh. And just
love them up.
And love them up and just be thankful for all the good fortune in your life, because not everyone can experience that. And just very proud. $3.3 million is just absolutely unbelievable. Blew everyone away. And so I just wanted to say that real quick.
It's a lot of money. It's really exciting.
And it goes to the 100%. Everything goes to all the kids and the families. They don't pay a dime. And it's for a great cause. And I'm very thankful to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. The smell of alcohol wafting down the hallway as I came in was a little overwhelming.
Wow.
So much
fireball on the golf course. It's a really, really bad recipe.
That's the Island Hole, isn't it?
Island Hole.
How'd you do?
I got to say, first off, on 16, I hit the greatest shot from 200 out for, almost made the eagle putt. 17, the wind really picked up. I'm gonna blame the weather.
It was really
windy. I hit a pure shot, back pin, playing like 155, and the wind just carried it to the right. Found the water, but it's totally fine.
The sea was angry, my friends.
We tied for first and lost a tiebreaker. What is that?
I like it when golfers blame the weather. They're like, well, the wind picked up. It's like, no, you just shanked it.
Just it wasn't a shank. It was pure. Come on. Pure. It was so windy.
Whatever.
Anyway,
it was 844-204 is the number to call. Hi to everybody out there watching on Roku.
844-204 what?
204 Rich.
Oh, you were just like 844-204, figure it out.
Sue me. What are you going to do? You can't fire me.
No.
844-204.
Hey, fill
Rich
in the blank.
Is the number to call.
844-204 Susie. Why can't we do that when you're here?
Seriously.
Yes. Can we change the numbers around?
In the old days, I feel like I got my own logo, but whatever. I mean, no biggie.
Wow.
I'm still here. Hi to everybody on Roku channel. Like, I forgot the number. Did I forget the number or was I just kind of rechanneling something? We're going to take all the calls, TJ, and I'm here tomorrow. So if they don't get on, they're going to get on.
Back.
I say that like it's a threat. Before we get to a call, let's talk about
Broadway. I will take your calls.
Don't you test me.
Hang up.
I will send you to your room. Before we
pull this car over.
Do we have Turzo break the news? I mean, do we do that? Do we have him read about the 5-year, $265 million contract with the Niners that Brock Purdy signed with the no trade clause? Oh, I just did. Turzo, what do you have to say about it?
What's up, Susie? It's always a pleasure to be able to talk to you.
A lot of coffee this morning. A lot of coffee.
Hey, Turzo.
Hey, I'm happy that we got the contract done. I think he got a fair deal. I don't think he's overpaid or underpaid. I think it's right about where he should be. I'm excited for it. This offseason's been a lot more productive for us than it was last year. And sounds like we're pretty close to getting Fred Warner tied up as well, too. So that just makes me really, really happy. And I think Purdy's going to earn every bit of that contract this year. And I hope we make a resurgence back into the playoffs.
Turzo, is it too early for win-loss? Like, what are we doing?
Do you want to do that?
Did you do it last week when I wasn't here?
Yeah.
Oh, you did
already?
Yeah,
I did it last week.
Okay, you did. Okay, great. What did you say? I missed it.
I said 11-6 after taking a look at the
with the easy schedule. 11-6
schedule.
Don't you have the easiest schedule in the league?
We do.
Oh, no faith in your team. Yeah.
Well, no.
11-6 is a good record.
Sometimes I listen to those guys out in Vegas, and they set the over under at 10.5. So
okay, and you went. Oh, okay, good. All right.
So that's where my
sneaky contenders
was on
that. Well, thank you, Turzo. Appreciate your time and love having you stop by.
How was the feud, though?
Feud was great. That's all we can say.
Yeah.
I know you can.
Feud was great.
Can't tell us what the results are, but that had to be just a blast.
Yeah.
I think you guys had the best time. That's a way to put it, right? You had the best time.
And speaking of thanking people like Chris did, man, I think on behalf of all of us, I'd like to say the Family Feud people, from everyone on the email chains to the people at the hotels to everyone at Tyler Perry Studios, the producers, the hair and makeup, the PAs, like every single person. That is such a well-oiled and well-run machine. I know we all had the best time and they were so professional and so easygoing and welcoming. And that was truly just an incredible, incredible moment. I know we all talked about it.
Oh, my goodness. And we didn't know what we were
top notch, man.
Oh, we didn't know what we were walking into. When you haven't been to a place before or you see it, you've been watching it on TV, you're like, man, what are we going to expect? What is it going to be like there? The crowd, the energy, live—you know, the 150 people live studio audience.
It's so crazy.
They're blasting music and dancing the whole time. The warm-up guy was incredible.
He's incredible.
Just 100%, like you said, TJ, across the board, for
top notch,
gold stars all across. It was such a great time. What an experience.
And I think we should keep playing it. I think it's so fun to play. It is so hard. We played it on Friday with Colleen and Sarah when we had a Women's Sports Now exclusively on Roku Channel takeover of The Rich Eisen Show. It is really hard. Because I was like, you guys are idiots.
You
guys are so dumb.
No,
when
you're on a clock and it's 3, 2, 1, get an answer out. You're And the one thing I found too, I don't know if you notice, is we talk for a living, right? We talk a lot. I'm up there and I'm like,
yeah.
All of a sudden, my mouth is dry. It feels like there's a sock in my throat, and I can't.
Right?
I got to get water in. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. It was just wow. When the bright lights are on, you're like, okay, what do I do with my hands?
Thank you.
And
see,
then
that's what I wanted you guys to understand. Everyone who wants to clown on me about, you know, Price is Right. It's one thing when you sit at home and do this, right? It's a whole nother thing when the lights are on and the camera's on and everyone's watching you and you got a little pressure. So when I sit here and go, you guys are clowning me, but I made it as far as you could go with actually winning. I hope now maybe I'll get a little less pushback for that because haters are going to hate. But, you know, it's different, man. It's not as easy
here's the deal. And
as you think it is.
And I will say this and I will back off a little bit. Going double over is a little embarrassing, but you did make it to the end, which is great.
Exactly.
It was hard. We were up there and it was difficult. The lights are bright and they're shining and you're like, okay, well, there's our name and here are the scores and there's the crowd and there's Steve Harvey. Wait till you guys, this is probably going to air in a couple months over the summer. Till you see Steve Harvey's outfit.
Yeah, his suit.
It's amazing. It was
amazing.
Unbelievable. Never seen anything like
and
it.
Steve Harvey is exactly
what you want him to be.
I can say this without getting anything away. I gave an answer to which Steve looked at me and then he walked to the front of the stage.
He did
like a minute and a half.
He did the thing. Yes,
he did the Steve Harvey
so
did
awesome.
He wanted based upon something I had said.
Yeah, it was perfect. Just like,
you realize you think you're smart and you're quick
that's
and you're
awesome.
Funny.
You're not
Bro,
that quick.
Can't
nah,
do that.
No, you can't. You're not Steve Harvey quick.
The guy is a legend. This guy is a legend, and there's a reason why he is making a gazillion dollars doing it. Because he's so good at it. That said, guys, I'm going to just now move on to something more important, which is the win-loss game.
Moving on.
Yeah, let's do it.
Glasses off.
Wait.
Glasses off.
Moving on. To a man named Dante who cares about the Niners. Dante, how are you? Thanks for joining us. I'm going to put my glasses back on because I'm not an idiot. I can't see this thing. God. Hi, Dante.
How are you guys doing?
So awesome. Up, how are you?
I'm doing great.
All right, you ready to go? I like a speed round. This is my game show, and I'm going to call it like I want to. Speed round. Let's go. Week one at Seattle.
Win.
Week two at New Orleans.
Win.
Week three, home from Arizona.
Win.
Ooh.
Week four, home for Jacksonville.
Win.
Week five at the Raiders.
Wait, that's Rams Thursday
Rams.
Night.
Oops,
Rams
sorry.
Thursday
at
night.
The Rams Thursday night. Whatever.
Win.
Did you say win?
Win, yeah.
Okay, great. Week six at Tampa Bay.
Loss.
I just looked at LA Raiders. Week seven, Atlanta.
Win.
Week eight at Houston.
Win.
Week nine at the Giants.
Win.
Week 10, home for the Rams.
Loss.
Week 11 at Arizona.
Loss.
Week 12, home for Carolina.
Win.
Week 13 at Cleveland.
Loss.
Week 14's a bye. Week 15, home for Tennessee.
Win.
Week 16 at Indianapolis.
Win.
Week 17, home for Chicago.
Win.
Week 18, home for Seattle.
Win.
Who did the math?
That's 14 or 15, right?
Who did the math?
13 and 4.
Wow.
13 and 4. Whoo, baby.
Nice.
Wow. 13 and 4, that might be one seed, NFC.
You happy about Purdy?
Yep. Oh, I couldn't be more excited. Even though the last time I called this show, I got eviscerated by fans in a YouTube comment section, friends, even my own family for suggesting, because I saw an article from a local beat writer saying they should trade Purdy for Shadur, for a pick to go get Shadur. But no, I cannot be more excited about Purdy.
Yeah, number one, stay out of the comments. Number two, probably good. Thanks again for your call. I appreciate it.
Proof of that.
That is so funny. Right, let's go to Dave in Council Bluffs for Bears win loss. Dave, you ready?
Yes.
Hold on, I gotta find this. Hold on. Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
Bears.
I'm just doing good.
Good. Thanks for taking your time. All right, let's go. Week one, Minnesota.
Win.
Week two, at Detroit.
Loss.
Week three, Dallas, at home.
We're gonna beat them.
Yeah, you are.
Let's go.
Week four, at Vegas.
We'll win that one.
Week five, bye. Week six, at Washington.
That'll be a loss.
Week seven, New Orleans.
Win.
Week eight, at Baltimore.
Win.
Week nine, at Cincinnati. Cincinnati.
Loss.
Week 10, Giants.
Win.
Week 11, at Minnesota.
Yeah, we'll lose that one.
Week 12, at Pitt.
Home for Pitt.
Win.
Home for Pitt. Oh, yeah. How do you even know? It's like you don't even know who's going to be the quarterback. How do you know if you're going to win or lose?
That's
Week 13
the fun
at Philadelphia.
That's a loss.
Week 14 at Green Bay.
Win.
Week 15, home for Cleveland.
Win.
Week 16, Green Bay at home.
Win.
Wow.
10-5.
Wow. Week 17 at San Francisco.
Win.
Week 18, home for Detroit.
Yeah, well, we're going to beat them.
Oh, 12-5. The Bears.
Very confident. I like it. Why are you so confident?
We stole Detroit's offensive coordinator and made him our head coach.
Yeah, you did.
I think during the offseason, we addressed some problems on the front line and in the offensive line. And I just think Caleb Williams' sophomore year is going to be a good year for him.
Yeah, after a year where he's watching film by himself, you got anything is up from here, right? I mean, what a ridiculous story that was. Thanks again for your time. I appreciate the call. Can we get another call in before break? Let's look. Let's see. You want to go John in Texas or Mark in Foxborough? What do you want to do, guys?
Mark in Foxborough.
All right, okay, Mark, let's go.
Let's go. Hi, Mark. How are you? Come on, let's go.
All right, you ready?
Shout out to the guys in the studio. How are we doing, Susie?
Hey, Mark.
What's up, brother? Let's do it.
Who cares about them? All right, hold on a second. I got to go find New England. All right, here we go. Week one.
Raiders.
Pete Carroll's coming home. Win. What do you think?
Even though Ash and Gen Z scares me, we're going to take that home opener.
Let's go, baby. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. Week two at Miami.
Loss.
Really?
Well, strange things happen in South Florida.
Danny Marino's not there anymore.
It's going to get this guy giving nightmares to, Vrabel and the boys.
Oh, my God. Week three, home for the Steelers.
Win.
Again, how do you prognosticate when you don't know who the quarterback is?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does.
Susie,
everything.
They can have Sully and Fitz come down to Pittsburgh and be their quarterback.
That's right.
Let's go.
Get Slappy down there. Put him in a uniform. All right, hold on a second. I got to find where I am. All right, week four, Carolina. We do that yet?
We're going to win that one.
All right. Week five at Buffalo. Oh, boy.
Loss.
Week six at New Orleans.
I think we'll steal that game.
Wow, I like it. Week seven at Tennessee.
That's a revenge game for Vrabel.
Yeah, it is.
He will hang 50 on them if
he
has to.
That's right, he will.
That's right, he will.
Week eight, Cleveland.
I think the Pats are going to steal that one as well. It's going to be tough. It could be tough. Lord knows who the quarterback is going to be, but I think the Patriots are going to steal that.
I hear you loud and clear. Week nine, home for Atlanta.
No question. We'll hang another 30 or 40 on the Falcons. I'm not scared of Penix.
7-2.
I'm not scared of Penix.
Yeah, I'm not scared of Penix. All right, week 10 at Tampa Bay.
As a Longhorn, I will always hate Baker Mayfield. But damn, he's good. Give the Bucs the win.
All right. Week 11. Plus, you got the Brady thing. It's kind of hard to hate the Bucs. I don't know. It's a rough one. Week 11. Forget it. You're gonna beat the Jets, right?
Sorry, Rich, but we're sweeping the Jets this year.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. It's ridiculous.
8-3.
Week 12 at Cincinnati.
Oh, we got to get curb stomped by Cincinnati.
Revenge for week one last year.
That's going to hurt.
Just skip that game.
All right, week 13, Giants.
I'm still bitter from 07 and 11. We're going to take the W, and we're going to take them to the cleaners.
Yeah, you should be, because that sucked. Week 14, bye week. Week 15, Buffalo. Another loss?
No, we're going to take that. We're going to take that W.
All right. I like it. Week 16 at Baltimore.
Loss.
Week, hold on. Am I at the right? Yeah, okay. I had to check. I got nervous. I took my glasses off. Week 17 at, oh, yeah, well, that's a lot. That's a win, right? You're going to sweep the Jets. And week 18, Miami.
We are going to take Miami at home. And that could be for a wild card spot. And I think Vrabel will have the boys up and ready to go. Pats take a wild card spot and go to the playoffs.
All right. I like it.
12-5.
Was it 11-6 or 12-5?
No, you had 11-6. I had 12-5.
I don't know. I don't do math. Also, thanks again for your call. I really appreciate your time from Foxborough. Also, I just realized they put that Mike Hoskins puts the schedule up there.
Yeah,
it's much easier.
Yeah, just follow along on the graphic.
You don't understand. I'm sweating this thing the whole time. It's so small.
That's what
I've got
you're
my
doing?
Pant. Yes.
That's what you've been doing. You've been looking at this thing. I'm just looking at the monitor. Look at the monitor. Is this your first time? Do you need help?
Oh, my God. This is just breaking news to me. Do we have breaking news? My life could be easier.
I'm sitting
here sweating that out. Like, what a joke. All right. We're going to take a break.
You're like squinting at the thing? Like,
I am. You guys, look at what I'm trying to do here.
Yeah, that
I
thing mean, is a...
This is I what cannot, I do for you people.
I hate those things.
Look, I'm trying to read this.
It's terrible.
You're doing great. We're going to get you a cheesesteak. It's all good.
Yep. I've never had a cheesesteak.
Why are you using that?
In my life. I don't know.
Why don't you use the sheet that it's printed out with
what
the...
What sheet that's printed
I'll
out?
I'll show you.
I've got some shiny schedule grid. There's a glare on it.
Oh, my God.
We'll get you right
my
for
eyes
next
see.
Segment. We'll get you right.
You know what?
Susie, they're leaving you, you know, out.
Is it because I'm a woman,
come
TJ?
On,
is that what it is?
Take care of Susie over there.
You're about to take our job. That's why.
I'm like, that's right. All right, guys, we'll take a break, and we'll have Vincent Goodwill on the other side of this. We're off the rails.
People want Colleen Wolf to replace me.
You guys are done.
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. In the NFL, there's zero margin for error. As we all know, one single mistake can change the outcome of a game, a season, livelihoods, my goodness. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League, Sleep Number knows all of that and makes it their mission to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. And thus, you get a Sleep Number bed, you get the same exact thing. I feel it all the time. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it does make the world of difference because you can adjust your bed's firmness on your side differently than the other. And after working out for recovery, it's game changing. That's just one of the things that makes a Sleep Number bed so awesome. It's why 95% of Rams players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of NFL players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can use your ideal comfort on either side. And now it's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
Right back here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. Chris Brockman's over there. TJ's over there. Mike's over there. Guys, I'm still like reeling over the fact that my life could be so much easier from these win losses.
See what I'm saying?
I don't even know what to say. This just looks so much easier.
I didn't know what you were doing there.
But you did it that way last year. You wrote it down.
I told her that. Yeah. She's like, no, I didn't. I'm like, yes, Susie.
I don't remember yesterday. That's just my life. TJ, what do you have? You have something special for me?
Well, you know, going back to what we were saying earlier about how you guys apparently did such a wonderful job taking over for us on Friday. You know, apparently I left Colleen a little note here with a candle with some instructions on what to do. I saw that she read it out loud. I'm glad I didn't say anything stupid in the note. That would have been embarrassing.
Like, I love you.
Listen, the thing is,
instructions, like, she doesn't know how to light the candle.
Well, she didn't know. Maybe she didn't know that the candle was a part of our opening procedure. So I was lighting a candle. I left her options. And so I left her a note like, hey, good luck and everything. And then I get back today. I wasn't expecting anything. And I look down at my desk and I see a note and I'm like, all right, cool. And I pick it up and it says, Dallas still sucks. So thanks, Colleen. Appreciate it.
I
love that so much.
Colleen even more.
She didn't write something cute like, TJ, thank you for my cute candle. It's so nice. She was like, Dallas still sucks. That is how we roll on Women's Sports Now, exclusively on Roku channel, because we are cutthroat. We are fans.
I feel like Smoke and Stack and Sinners. Somebody invited the vampires in, and now we're all in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, we're all. But yeah, you know, that's what I get, Chris, for being welcoming. You left Sarah nothing. I left some candles and got Dallas. Oh. Still sucks.
The inmates are running the asylum, TJ. I'm just saying.
She put the clown nose on.
Sarah put the clown nose on. And I said, that's something I would never do. You must actually, like, love your significant other.
I helped her with a couple What's More Likelies, and then someone in the comments was like, Chris should take notes. These are much better.
By the way, everyone says everything was better, by the way, with the takeover.
We're in trouble, Brock. When we are in trouble.
You're very much in trouble. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Vincent Goodwill stopping by. Hey, Vincent, how are you?
Hey, Susie, how are you doing?
Thanks for making the time, as you always do. I appreciate it. If you're building a team, I asked this of Christopher Russo in the first hour, would you take Anthony Edwards, or would you take Shai Gilgeous-Alexander if you're starting from scratch?
That is the existential question that will decide the Western Conference Finals, it feels like. I feel like, to some degree, stylistically, everybody looks at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's game and says it's not stylistically as attractive as Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards has the game that looks like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant and guys like, and Dwayne Wade. So you kind of feel like a familiarity and a kinship to it. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's the MVP and is going to be announced as the MVP this week. Now, he is 3 years older than Anthony Edwards, so maybe there's a maturity aspect of it there that you would take over Ant. But, man, the way that Ant plays is kind of irresistible. I think that's the right word to say here, because he puts his force on the game in ways that is very loud. And even though it's as familiar as Michael and Kobe and Vince Carter and Dwayne Wade, it's still pretty freaking effective. And the fact that he's 23, he's back in the Western Conference Finals for the second time. This is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's first one. I think you can make the argument that Anthony Edwards is going to be the guy in the future, while Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the guy right now.
Wow, it's so hard, because I feel like I get it, and at the same time I feel strangely more confident with Shai Gilgeous. I just feel like there's that maturity level that makes me feel a little bit stronger heading down this home stretch, where the games are that much bigger and with that much more at stake.
Absolutely. I think the variance is in Anthony Edwards' explosiveness, right? So you feel like the highs are more higher than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But when you looked at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the three games that he's played since, or the four games that he's played since the Denver Nuggets went up 2-1, excuse me, on Oklahoma City, he's averaged 32. He shot over 60% from the field from the shooting guard position. That's really impressive and really difficult to do. He plays an effective game where you don't feel like the bad games will feel as bad, maybe, you know, but Anthony Edwards, his ceiling is so much higher. The game stylistically looks just so much more appealing. But I tend to agree with you on this, Susie, just the fact that Oklahoma City has won 68 games this year. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the best player on that team, and he's driving that. Like, that has to earn some credit in this discussion.
And that's, to me, why this seems like almost a silly conversation, but worth having regardless, because how has he not cemented the MVP? So then, as we're talking about it from that perspective, I would 100% want to take my team and build it around Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, because he's already shown in this year that he has the maturity that we haven't seen from Anthony Edwards yet. So if I'm building a team, I'd start there.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that to some degree. But here's what I will say for Anthony Edwards. He is 23. And you have given him players that we in the NBA public have not believed to be the most winning attribute players in Julius Randle, Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, players who have been maligned in their other stops. And Anthony Edwards has empowered those guys and poured life into them. So even though it doesn't feel the same way as far as the leadership, the fact that he's built those guys up and has found a way to do it in ways that it took Kobe Bryant years to be able to connect with his teammates. It took a long time for Michael Jordan to be able to empower his teammates. He has that leadership quality in a much different way, and it's not conventional. It's in that sort of very Atlanta, very, you know, smile, like I said before, I always say about Anthony Edwards, he's a bad kid, but like the bad kid that the teacher loves, mm-hmm, so he never mm-hmm. really gets in trouble because you just love him so much. Like, that's what he brings. And you can't fault Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for just being calm and steady and being that guy in Oklahoma City when they started that rebuild, when they traded Russell Westbrook and Paul George and they stripped that thing down. The one player that they got was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and he was okay with the process. He was okay with them building, and now he's starting to reap the rewards and the fruits of that patience.
And so then who do you see then moving on for the finals from this side before we switch to the other side?
I feel like Oklahoma City has more answers than Minnesota. And I think that these two teams are kind of evenly matched. Their strengths are similar, but I feel like maybe they have one or two more good players. And when you win 68 games and you haven't played a lot of close games and you've blown out the Denver Nuggets in some of those games, I tend to give you a little bit more credit because we don't know what Minnesota would have done if Stephen Curry had played in that mm-hmm, series. They took mm-hmm. care of their matchup, but Oklahoma City's a little bit more tested at this point. Maybe this is their year.
Before we switch to the Eastern, you know, Oklahoma City was talked about as a Giannis soft landing spot, a possibility, because they have so many draft picks and players that they could send to Milwaukee, et cetera. A lot of chatter about that. Is that still in play, do you think?
Everything's still in play. Nothing's ever out of play. I would say this. If I'm Giannis Antetokounmpo, I want to stay away from the Western Conference. Like, it is a murderer's row of teams where the Minnesota Timberwolves were the sixth seed and they won 49 games. Like, it just doesn't look like if you're a superstar, you want, by and large, an easier path to get to the NBA Finals. Maybe what happens with the New York Knicks will leave it open. Maybe the Miami Heat is always looking at being the soft landing spots for a star. But I don't know if they have the packages to offer. I'm looking at the Houston Rockets if something comes up. Like, there's a lot more teams out west. But if I were Giannis, I'd want to stay east.
You know, I hear you. And then I've heard about the Spurs. And then they could play two bigs together. And he could raise that young child down in San Antonio. But then you hear about, the possibility of maybe going out to the Warriors. And then it's that last push for Steph. Then you think to yourself, could he go to the Lakers? And then he'd get the, you know, bright lights, big city. I hear you staying on the east. It's a good transition to talk about the Knicks and Pacers. But I just feel like if he's going to make that move, at this point in his career, I feel like it's going to be a big splash.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think any franchise that makes a play for Giannis understands he's 30 years old. You've got at least a 5-6 year runway with him. The problem in the NBA is, Susie, you can't plan beyond 1 or 2 years. Like, we thought the Denver Nuggets were going to be here for a long time. They're out. We thought the Boston Celtics were certainly going to be here for a long time. They're out. Those are things that Giannis Antetokounmpo and his people have to sort of weigh in if they decide they're going to leave Milwaukee. Which situation has the longest runway in this NBA that does not have long runways? Let's just pray he does not wind up with the Lakers. That would be information overload for all of us. Can we just send them somewhere else? It'd be too much.
It's too much, although I never ruled Jeannie Buss out of anything. So, I mean, I wouldn't be that surprised. I love how every team's like, we've got a great Greek neighborhood. I'm like, guys, I'm like, how's your Nigerian food? Like, let's kind of branch out here a little bit. Let's transition then to the East, right? I mean, but it's true. Everyone's like, they've got a great Greek. Right? Guys, I don't think that's the draw for Giannis right now. I think it's a little bit more worldly than that. Don't you love it? It's like that's the low-hanging fruit.
So yes, yes, yes.
All right, so let's flip over to the Knicks and the Pacers because I could easily punt back and say Halliburton versus Brunson, but I think there's so much more to unpack with this Knicks team right now. His sacrifice that he's made in his contracts to build this team up, the way they're playing, the way that whole city is acting like it's, you know, 1999 all over again. They're partying like it. And I know it's been a long time since they've been anywhere, but what are your thoughts on that series?
You know what? I wonder, like, emotionally for the New York Knicks, right? They've wanted to get over this particular hurdle for so long. Like, the Boston Celtics have been their boogeyman, right? Like, and this is the team that you were built to beat. You acquire Mikal Bridges so you can guard Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in a playoff series. You acquire Karl Anthony Towns so he can stretch the floor for Jalen Brunson against the Boston Celtics. And then you beat them. No matter how it happened, no matter what you thought about Jason Tatum tearing his Achilles in game four of that series, they were going to be up 3-1. They came back from two 20-point deficits on the road. They were the better team in that series. That being said, did you see the idiots hanging off the chandeliers in New York City?
It's like,
I don't know if you can come down from that and say, you know what, we're going to gear back up to play the Indiana Pacers, a team we lost to last year. I think from a basketball standpoint, it's styles make fights. Like, the Pacers are really, really good. They run up and down the floor. Like, we don't think of basketball conditioning in certain spaces by this point of the year because everybody's tired and everybody plays slow down basketball. But the Pacers keep coming at you, and they don't just come at you with Tyrese Halliburton. They come at you with Miles Turner. They come at you with Andrew Nembhard. They come at you with all these other players that we don't know much about because they're the Indiana Pacers and because they're playing the New York Knicks. Reggie Miller is going to have a absolute ball
field
covering
day.
That series, a field day covering that series and giving. I wouldn't be surprised if he was like a Pacers operative in some of those network meetings where he's getting secrets from Tom Thibodeau and running over to Rick Carlisle and telling Rick, hey, this is what Tibbs is planning to do today.
He knows all those tunnels.
A real blood rivalry, right?
He knows all those tunnels only too well underneath Madison Square Garden. And it's this is a fun one to watch because what you said is exactly right. Why does it feel like every year with Indiana, there's names you're like, wait, I never heard of that guy before. And suddenly they're lighting up the court. Every year it feels that way.
You know what it is, Susie? It's because they never bottomed out. They never did the tank thing that everybody says. Oh, you got to tank to get the number one pick, and then you start building. They start building from the middle. They get Tyrese Halliburton in the middle of the lottery, on the back end of the lottery. Miles Turner has been there for years, and we've been trying to, not saying we, but the NBA world has been trying to trade Miles Turner to the Lakers or to Team X for years, and they've held on to him. And they've done things like building around the margins. They've changed the style of play. And the NBA has caught up to them. They've gotten ahead of where the league was going. So I think this is a refreshing story in terms of team building. You get tough players who are also skilled. This is not the NBA where you got the bruisers and then you've got the pretty guys. You've got these bruisers who can also play skilled basketball. That's why they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers and beat them soundly. So I think they are a modern day success story on team building. Tyrese Halliburton was no one's number one pick coming out of the draft. No one thought he was going to be this generation Steve Nash, which is what he looks like. People thought he was overrated. He talks in two voices. His daddy's out here confronting players. Like, there's so much texture here in this series, Susie. I'll be out west, but I wouldn't mind being at Madison Square Garden seeing Tyrese Halliburton be the villain in New York City.
Because there's no better place to watch a game. There's still no better place to watch a game than there. It is so much fun. It smells like a ball game. It just looks like a ball. It just feels special watching a game in the Garden. What's your favorite place to watch a game?
It might be the Garden. I am partial, Susie, to being in Los Angeles because of some of the other things that come around courtside in L.A.
Oh.
But I am a man of a certain age.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Like the parade? Is that what you're saying?
I like to see what doctors are actually at the game.
Sure.
You find out what doctors are there.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think I know what you're saying.
Like Jay and Dre?
You guys understand what I'm saying. You find out what the... let's say
trends
the
are.
Attributes. You find out what. The latest trends.
Right.
The attributes. You find out what factory settings are no longer factory settings anymore. That's what I like seeing in LA. But as far
upgrades.
As basketball
upgrades,
Madison Square.
Sometimes people forget
Madison
to get
Square
dressed when they go to games. Sometimes people show up and I'm like, oh, you forgot your pants.
It was a conscious decision.
I mean, that's how old I am. I'm like, oh, that's so funny. The person walking around courtside just forgot to get dressed before they came to the game. But whatever, I know. I'm trying to watch a game, Vincent, and you're trying to like look around at the sideline spectacle. How
Susie,
dare you,
Susie? First time in my life I ever saw clear heels.
Oh yeah,
was at Staples Center.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I told you this. I mean, my first job covering the NBA was with the Lakers. 2000 to 2003 was my first run. And I showed up, and there was a lot of there was a lot in the plastic industry that I hadn't been exposed to on the East Coast. So I hear you. Could have been my co-anchor, but that's a whole different conversation and maybe a different show. But anyway, I digress. I digress. I'm still thinking about Giannis, thinking about the possibility of... We'll all end up asking who's going to win, whatever, but I'm still thinking about the possibility of Giannis and Victor Wembanyama playing together. Wouldn't that be
nobody's
just...
Nobody's scoring.
Right? I mean, just these two giants...
You're better off shooting from half court.
That's it, right?
Pretty much. That's your bet. You got two pterodactyls, and one is not growing into his body yet, and one is a full-grown man. That's like the Monstars. It's like Space Jam, except you don't have Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny on the other side. Like, there would be no scoring. And Giannis has said he likes not having state taxes, and I believe that San Antonio is in the great state of Texas.
And then he likes to play power forward, but he's a natural center, and so then they switch. And then it's just maybe we're reinventing the game of basketball. I like what we're doing here.
I will tell you this also. Now, you mentioned the Golden State Warriors. Him and Steph Curry are represented by the same agent. Mm-hmm. We all know that that plays a big part in things. Steph has a couple of more years left, especially playing at this particular level. And I don't know if he's going to play beyond 38, 39, 40 years old. I don't think he's going to go into LeBron and play until he's like 65 or anything. Oh, so if you're Golden State,
65,
do you push all the chips to the table and say, hey, Giannis, let's see what we can do here?
I would love to see what he would do with Steve Kerr. I would love to see that. I can't stand everybody saying, oh, the window's closing. It's like, he's not missing. The window is not closing. Like, it's my most infuriating conversation when I hear about this. I get it. You can't play at a, you know, top level forever. But Steph Curry doesn't look exactly like he's slowing down.
Well, here's the thing. No window is closed because no other window is open.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. Like, everybody, if you tell me Golden State's window is closed, you have to tell me who exactly's window is open beyond the two teams that are playing in the conference finals. Now, and I grant you, they're younger, more athletic, there's more margin for error, but you're literally one move away from entering back into the championship conversation, and who the hell knows what's going to happen this summer.
It's going to be crazy. All right, who wins? Who wins?
I think the Indiana Pacers win this series.
Ooh.
I'm not sure if the Knicks, they've been playing players 40 minutes a night. I don't know if this is sustainable or not. This goes against the laws of physics. They've been healthy. That's the crazy part. They've been healthier, but I feel like the Pacers are playing better. I feel like they have more answers. I always look in the playoff series up. What ways can you win and what ways can that team stop you from winning? And I feel like the Pacers have more answers than the New York Knicks actually have ways to stop them. I could be wrong because I've been wrong about the New York Knicks twice in these playoffs, which means New York Knicks will be all in the YouTube mentions for this, for me picking and against them again.
I hear you. Who takes it all?
I think this is Oklahoma City's time.
I
feel like when you win 68 games and you have the margin of victory, the only reason we don't believe in them is because they've never done it. But nobody amongst the Final Four has ever done it. The New York Knicks last won a championship before the ABA-NBA merger of 1977. I wasn't born yet, and neither were you, Susie.
No one
there remembers the New York Knicks championship run.
I was one. I don't remember it at all. I'm just saying. I think my family would boycott watching anyway. And from Boston, are you kidding me? Forget about it. Oh, it wouldn't happen.
Condolences.
I know. Vincent, somewhere Rich is like hurt somewhere. He just felt something. Like, he just felt you stab him in the heart taking the Pacers. But that's all right. He'll get over it. Vincent, you're the best. Thanks again for making your time.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks again.
Love seeing him. He always has good, fun things to talk about. I love the idea of that in San Antonio. Although, I'm going to say right now, I would like him to go to the Warriors. You want him to go to Boston?
Oh, no. Giannis?
Yeah.
I mean, we have to give up everything.
Everything.
Tatum's not going to play next year, so.
That's what I'm saying.
I totally agree. He needs to stay in the East if I'm him.
Yep.
West is too stacked, and with Boston being down, Cleveland maybe being down, I think you wait to see what happens. What if the Knicks lose in five? And all those fans come down from the street lamps and they realize, oh no, we're right where we've been the last 50 years. Then you're going to start seeing that Giannis, we got to get Giannis, MoMA. That would probably be, TJ, the most fun. Brunson, Giannis, and Bridges.
Yep, there's a Great Creek neighborhood there.
That's pretty good.
I thought that didn't matter, though.
That's pretty good.
Everyone says there's a Great Creek neighborhood.
Orlando would be fun.
I like Greek food. I've never had a cheesesteak, but whatever.
Giannis anywhere would be good.
I mean, I've never had a cheesesteak. These guys don't bring me anything. It's ridiculous. Rich Ackerman's got to bring.
I didn't know you didn't have a cheesesteak.
Maybe Rich is going to bring me a cheesesteak.
Well, you know that's not going to happen.
All right, Rich, take a little news up break here.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. From streaming to shopping, Prime helps you get more out of your passions. So whether you're a fan of true crime or prefer a nail-biting novel from time to time, with services like Prime Video, Amazon Music, and fast free delivery, Prime makes it easy to get more out of whatever you're into or getting into. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to learn more.
Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get five Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Your process in coming up with these videos, right upon the Cowboys' misery, just piling on.
There's no real process. I mean, it hits me naturally. It's very impromptu, extemporaneous, right off the cuff.
Yes.
I sincerely mean from the bottom of my heart, I don't care whether you're young or old, black, white, Hispanic, doesn't matter to me. I think that Dallas Cowboys fans are the worst, most disgusting, most nauseating fan base in American history. Nobody disgusts me more than a Cowboy fan because they never, ever, ever take a moment to smell their own stench. This is a team that hasn't won a Super Bowl since 1995, and they walk around like they're the reigning defending Super Bowl champions every single year.
I've got a Dallas Cowboy fan here, Rich Eisen Show social media extraordinaire Grandmaster TJ Jefferson, who...
My condolences to him.
He is reasonable. I do want to say that. I mean, you're right. Right, but you did say 5 years ago, though, you were thoroughly just like every other Cowboy fan that Stephen A. has
I probably resembled the remarks that he made.
Okay.
You know? But, I mean, nobody feels that way anymore, man. And
really?
I'm on Cowboys Twitter a lot. I see a bunch of angry and annoyed Cowboy fans. I don't see Cowboys fans, like, walking around, like, thinking we're the Chiefs or something. Like,
yeah. What do you think, Stephen?
Oh, my Lord. I don't know you. I don't know you. And I don't mean to cast any aspersions on you as a human being. I'm sure you're a very nice, highly intelligent dude. But for this particular subject, you are a damn liar. No way. There is no way that you can say with a straight face that you don't run into Cowboy fans thinking like this. Cowboy fans are the most arrogant, disgusting, nauseating fan base you could possibly find. You never take a second to smell your own stuff. And I'm just looking at here. You know, one of the great, great moments that I had.
Yes.
All right. Remember 2010 when you ended up going 6-10? But then those weren't my favorite years with the Cowboys. Because I actually liked the Cowboys when the playmaking and Smith and Troy Aikman were there and stuff, and Primetime came over to San Francisco and all of this other stuff. But here was my favorite moment, 2011, 2012, 2013. Not only did the Dallas Cowboys finish 8-8 each season, they had the last game of the regular season with the division crown on the line. And lost all 3 years to each of the teams in the division. It doesn't get much sweeter than that. And even then, y'all still walk around. We'll be back next year. You'll see.
Oh, TJ, Stephen A. Smith, taking you to school for that.
Took me to school?
You stand that. Come on. He'll be joining us in the third hour. I don't know if you want to revisit that or not.
Whatever.
How about them Cowboys?
Boy, so
rent-free, Susie. The cost of living is too high to allow someone to just live without paying any type of compensation, and yet we live rent-free in the man's dome.
Well, you know, Michael Urban did go 12-5 on the win-loss for the Cowboys on Friday. Do you think Stephen A. would do win-loss? Should we ask him?
The Cowboys?
No,
Cowboys.
Not, no,
that would
no.
be so nasty.
Oh, no, that would be amazing. Team.
Let's
would
ask him.
Do the Giants.
But, does he have a team?
No, I mean.
No, I mean, like, I don't think so.
Steve's
I mean,
key, the Cowboys, trust me.
Oh, I would love to see that.
Let's ask him. You just never quite know, right? I mean, you don't know if you don't ask. Hi, guys. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. He'll be back on Wednesday. I will be back with you tomorrow. And you know what that means? Win, loss.
Win, loss game.
And I love my phone calls. All right, let's go to Dylan in Vancouver. Hi, Dylan. You want to play Colts win, loss?
Good morning, Susie Schuster. It's an honor to be talking to you.
I'm so glad that you waited so long, and thanks again for your time. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, Susie, I actually tracked the win-loss game last year. There was 103 call-ins. I think if you hosted more, there'd be 200.
Because it's fun.
Hey, chill,
it's,
Dylan.
Because it's fun, and, you know, I like getting you guys involved, and I like to take calls, so it's like the perfect combination. Are you ready to go, Dylan?
I'm very ready.
Let's see if I get Let's this any better now that they've actually told me that I can have one that I can read actually better.
Way,
I'm sure this will be a hot mess. All right,
Top
Dylan, let's go.
On the board.
Week one, Miami Dolphins.
That's going to be the first Colts week one win since 2013.
Wow. Dylan's brought the stats this morning. I like
Dylan,
it.
You're the best. Let's go.
Week two, Denver.
That's a win.
Week three at Tennessee.
The Colts have beat the number one overall pick the last five seasons. That's a win.
Week four at the Rams.
Whose house? That's a loss.
I know. Week five, Raiders.
I need to hear Amy Trask's thoughts on Christian Bale as Al Davis. That's a win.
So will you listen to What the Football as we record it tomorrow, our first one in a while?
I listen to What the Football every chance I get, Susie.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope everybody will, too.
What are we at? What do you have for record right now?
4-1.
4-1.
All right. Week six, the Cardinals.
Daniel Jones is going to outleg Kyler Murray.
Week seven at the Chargers.
Daniel Jones is going to get outarmed by Justin Herbert. Lost.
Week eight, Titans.
Titans suck. Loss. Or win.
I love it. Week nine at the Steelers.
That's going to be a no good loss.
Week 10 in Berlin against the Falcons.
In Berlin, they say Verlust. That's a loss.
Wow, I like it. Auskasizny. All right, week 11 is a bye. Week 12 at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Patrick Mahomes has never beaten the Colts. They have no business winning this game, and they will.
I love how correct Dylan comes.
7-4.
Week 13, Houston Texans.
Loss.
Week 14, Jacksonville Jaguars on the road.
Anthony Richardson's going to throw a touchdown to Tyler Warren and Travis Hunter. That's a loss.
15, this is the Seahawks.
This is a special game for me. I grew up in a low-income family. It was a pipe dream to see the Colts. I'm proud to say I'm taking myself to this game.
Okay, really quick. Week 16, Niners.
That's a win.
That's a win, okay.
Week 17, Jaguars.
That's a loss. Ballard doesn't win Monday night. That's a loss.
8-7.
And 18, Texans on the road.
Capping off the week's two wins to cap off the season against divisional teams, 10-7 should be the record.
Wow.
Dylan, you're the best. Much more when we come back right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Dylan, you're amazing. That was really fast. It was stress-filled, and I got through it much easier with this sheet. Thank you, TJ.
That's what I'm here for.
Great sheet. 10-7. Yeah.
To make life easier for you.
On the playoff bubble at 10-7.
You know, it's stressful when you're trying to do this game. You're trying to get it right. You're trying to tee up. I'll take my glasses off, and somebody will chime in and say, why'd you take your glasses off? I can't see. Back off.
Drink.
So, yeah, it's stressful because you want to deliver. It's a game show. We could actually make a podcast out of this. And people would call in. I can't do another podcast. TJ, you want to do this one? You can't do another podcast. You've got no contest wrestling.
Today, as a matter of fact.
You do?
Yeah.
Who's on it?
Oh, we got the hardcore legend Mick Foley coming in the studio right here. He will be here today, man. Wow. We're excited. This is going to be great.
This is my question for all wrestlers who do this. Why?
Why what?
Why? Why wrestle? Why wrestle?
To entertain, to have an outlet as an expression.
Is wrestling a sport?
It is. It's sports and entertainment all rolled up into one. It is live theater.
Yep.
You know, it's everything like that. You know, it's the toll that this endeavor, whether you want to call it a sport or not, takes on these people's bodies and lives. It's unbelievable. So, yeah.
I've never had a cheesesteak and I've never watched a wrestling match.
You've never watched a wrestling match? Mm-hmm. Oh, we got to change that. I'll fire something up in the commercial break. I'll let you watch a squash match real quick, and
so you'll do that, but you'll still kill me for not bringing donuts, and you won't bring me anything else like breakfast wise. So like,
see, that
but
was...
you'll let me watch a wrestling video.
Yeah,
that's easy. You walk across the room.
Wrestling's important.
Mm-hmm. Call me when you do something big for me. You know what I mean? Like, just like let me know. Do you watch wrestling? Does Cage Brockman watch wrestling?
We do. Him and I watch. I watched for a long time, and then I was out, and now, you know, Cage is a little older, so we're kind of into it. I got a nut shot the other day. It hurt so bad. I fell down immediately, and it was one of those ones where I was laughing because it hurt so bad.
Sarah was really pissed at you, huh?
No, Cage did it.
That was a joke, dummy.
I know, I'm powering through.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to relive the pain.
Yeah.
And he thought I was laughing. So yeah. He just kept like beating on me and like thought it was funny. And she was just like, no, I think he's actually really hurt. And I was.
Did you throw up?
Close.
Stephen A. Smith when we're back on the Rich Eisen Show.
Former MLB All-Star Sean Casey, a.k.a. the Mayor, keeps hitting it out of the park.
Take my 30 years of experience. Take the wisdom and knowledge I've learned from the failures when I got sent down my rookie year, all the injuries I had to overcome. Your mind is the most important tool you have in life. Be relentless. Keep charging. It matters how you talk to yourself, how you look at the world. That matters. We talk about that. I don't know. I'm fired up. Baseball's back, and it's going to be incredible. I love it.
The Mayor's Office with Sean Casey from Believe.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.